Let's go in-depth on Iowa State with the Des Moines Register. It's time for Cyclone Insider, powered by G-Meg's 5th Street Pub on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome to Cyclone Insider on this Tuesday. Chris Williams, out. I'm in. I'm Heather. Thanks for joining us. I'm here with Randy Peterson. Sounds like Tommy Burch isn't able to join us because he has a sick kid at home. It's that time of year.
It is that time of year, and family comes first and all that good stuff, you know. So, yeah, it's cool. And I haven't been on the last couple of weeks because I've been on the road. So, nice. And I haven't been on with you for, like, ever.
I know. Dude. It's been forever since I've hosted Cyclone Insider.
I feel like I helped raise you when you were going to Iowa State.
You did. You were one of those wise much younger men in the press box that took me under your wing. Well, I was going to call you a wise old man, then, and I'm like, no, that's
not
true.
No, I'm not old.
You were probably younger than I am right now when you first took me under your wing. So.
Oh, I am younger than you are now, too, even.
Oh, okay.
I feel younger.
That math seems fuzzy to me, Randy, but
okay, that's okay.
We'll forge on.
It's a world in which we're living.
Because I like where I'm at right now, hosting Cyclone Insider, because there's a lot to be excited about. Cyclone fans wish they could have that TCU game back? Of course.
Which TCU game, football or basketball?
Both of them.
Take your pick.
But we'll go with the most recent one, which was that home loss to TCU.
Man.
But way to rebound with a great, solid, really not ever in question win at Kansas State.
And that's a great way to put it, never in question, because it wasn't ever in question. When Iowa State, when all those dudes are playing good at the same time, and not even all of them, when a post player and two of the guards are playing well at the same time, and I'm using Shayok in there as a forward because we know he's going to play well. So you got a post player, Shayok, and two of the guards playing well. Iowa State's going to win. And on Saturday, what happened? Cam played well. Shayok did his normal stuff, scoring, and he also added 13 rebounds, which we'd not seen before. And oh, by the way, Talen and Lindell combined for 11 of 14
yeah,
or 43 something.
43 points.
From 3-point range and 43 points. So that's been the formula that Iowa State needs to use the rest of the way out. When Iowa State is playing on all cylinders, nobody, and I repeat, nobody in the Big 12 is beating them because they've beaten all the good teams already, and Baylor comes to town tonight.
I feel like you're not going to lose to too many teams when you shoot 58% from three-point territory.
No,
14 of 24, and they shot 52% for the game.
And when you yes, exactly, and when you dominate under the bat, when you play, when Cam is in the game and playing well, when he's good, Cam. Excuse me, Cam Lard. When he's good, Cam, it's crazy. I mean, he had two or three dunks. I think he was 4 for 4 from the field. I don't have the score in front of me.
8 points, and most importantly, he played 20 minutes
and only picked up
3 fouls. If you don't count that technical that he got for celebrating one of the dunks that you
that
talked about.
That was dumb, but that's okay. I would hope Cam is smart enough to not do that in a game that where it couldn't mean the difference. But when Cam is focused, and that box score is, you know, it doesn't show how many shots are altered or any of that stuff either. I still contend, and I wrote it, and I caught heck for writing it, or I caught heck from readers, probably Kansas State readers, but that's okay. After Kansas State beat Iowa State in Ames on a winning basket that ended up being Barry Brown's layup, where he just absolutely walked past Lindell Wigginton to get to the basket. If Cam would have been in the game, I'm guessing that at somehow, some way, he'd have came over from the weak side and done something to make Barry Brown miss that layup, which would have been which was the game-winning layup. Either block it, either make him change his mind, or foul him. I mean, that's obvious. He could do that too. And if he gets fouled, then he goes to the free throw line and he can win it from there. But it's pretty evident that Cam and Lindell, it's a pretty good deal right now. People were criticizing Prome for a long time about using Lindell off the bench. People were criticizing Prome. I saw some people criticizing him about having Cam come off the bench. Well, when Lindell comes off with 14:30 to go in the first half, and when Cam comes off comes off the bench 30 seconds later, that team picks up. The energy of that team is off the charts.
Do you think they should be trying to work into the starting lineup at this late dates?
I did at one point, but
you're now a buyer this, in this lineup.
Not at this late date, like you said. Yeah, like, go with it. Go with this. I mean, what Tyrese Halliburton? He's got this shooting phobia going on right now. Where he doesn't shoot. But and Pearl made a big deal of it yesterday at the. Or pointed it out yesterday during his weekly telecon or press conference. So maybe tonight he will shoot it. But he had five or six assists. So he's doing Tyrese is doing other things.
Yeah, and he played 33 minutes. Yeah. So he's doing something right. You're not keeping a guy in the lineup that's not contributing.
No. Yeah. Exactly. And he's doing other things like assisting on Saturday. But I suspect that he'll shoot it more tonight. Iowa State Baylor at 8 o'clock tonight. So I suspect he'll shoot it tonight, and we'll see where that takes him.
Nick Weiler-Babb has kind of been an unsung hero, and you did a column about that. But you know, and you look at his stat line from Saturday's win at K-State: 40 minutes, 6 points, but he had 6 assists and didn't turn the ball over. He had 1 turnover. I think that what he contributes to the team is not. Always something that is reflected in the box score. Obviously,
Nick is. People can tell from my writing, I've liked Nick ever since, even before he went to college. I liked him. I first met him at TCU. Actually, he was a high school kid, came to the game at TCU to watch Chris play, his brother Chris play. Chris introduced me to Nick before the game, and he said, "Here's going to be the next Chris," which I thought was cool. Well, it took a while, but you know what? He's starring on this Iowa State team. He's the glue. He's the guy that huddles the team up during timeouts at the free throw line. He's talking in the huddle during timeouts when Prohm is going over strategy with his assistants. It's Nick who's in the huddle. Who's talking to the guys before Prohm comes in and talks to them. He's the guy. He's the glue. He's I don't know where Iowa State would be without him. And what a story. I mean, last year at this time of the year, he was shut down. His body gave up. He had tendonitis in his knees, and back spasms. He said, "The heck with it. I'm done. I'll be back next year. Be better than ever next year for a team that's going to be off the charts good or could be off the charts good." And by golly, he is.
You keep mentioning Iowa State does play Baylor tonight, so I guess let's look ahead to Baylor. They're down a couple of key players. Have you heard any whispers? Because they keep saying that these two are a game-time decision.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've not heard anything. I'm going under the assumption that one will play and one won't. I don't know which one. I don't know. But Iowa State, I'm sure, is preparing for them to be ready. I mean, last night there was a game time decision at Kansas State with Dean Wade, and just before the West Virginia game, and by golly, he played. So I don't know. I think Iowa State has probably been preparing for them to play, and it's a game that Iowa State's got to win. They lost at Baylor, and let me here again. I'm going to talk about Cam a little bit. Cam sprained his ankle in that game with 6 minutes to go in the first half. He sprained his ankle. Iowa State was ahead when he sprained his ankle. He went out for the game. He missed the next two games, I think, with the sprained ankle. He was out in the second half, obviously. Baylor came back to win. Baylor scored a lot of points in the paint in the second half. Baylor came back to win that game. Cam was not in the game. The Cam factor again. So, yeah, if Iowa State is going to keep anywhere near having hopes of being the team that knocks off Kansas, Iowa State's got to win tonight. I think they've got to win out, to be honest with you.
You do think they need to win out?
I do, because Kansas State has only lost three times. They've only lost three conference games. So I don't, who knows whether they're going to lose again. So somebody's got to knock. Iowa State did its part and knocked off Kansas State. And here's Kansas State's remaining schedule: Oklahoma State, a W; at Kansas, probably a loss; at home against Baylor, a W; at TCU, a W; at home against Oklahoma, a W. So they're going to go 4-4, or they're going to go 14-4. For Iowa State to go 14-4, they got to win out. Iowa State has to win out for the rest of the league to go 14-4. They've got to win out, the teams that are contenders. So
Well, let's go ahead, though, and look at Kansas's remaining schedule, because you can't, you know, count them out.
Heck no.
From winning a 900 conference regular season
901.
championship.
This will be 901
in a row.
901 in a row.
Conference championship, regular season championship. Yeah. So they are at Texas Tech.
Yeah, on Saturday. And that could be a tough game. Could be.
Have Kansas State at home.
A W.
At Oklahoma State.
Easy W.
At Oklahoma.
Easier W.
And at home versus
exactly.
Baylor.
There you go, you see?
Okay, I'm seeing your point where I was thinking
Iowa State
probably
got to win out. Look at Texas Tech. You got it up?
I can look at Texas Tech. All right. Texas Tech coming up. They are obviously home against Kansas.
Right. Losing at Kansas.
Oklahoma State at home.
W.
At TCU.
W.
Texas at home.
W.
At Iowa State.
Lose. So they're out. You know, when Iowa State's, you know, we were talking about Iowa State having to win out. It's Baylor at TCU, at home against Oklahoma. There's three wins right there. But then Iowa State goes to Texas. Strange stuff happens at Texas, for example. And they don't, it's all not only with, let's keep Austin weird or whatever that saying is. There is weird stuff that happens at the Irwin Center also, where the basketball arena is. So they play at Texas and then at West Virginia. Weird stuff happens at West Virginia, too.
It really does.
But, yeah.
And then Texas Tech.
And then Texas Tech. Yeah,
home.
March 9th. So, Iowa State's got to win out to have any realistic chance of keeping, at least of being in the hunt to stop Kansas from its 901st conference title in a row.
And I know I'm exaggerating just only slightly.
It would actually be 15. But getting close.
You know, we look back at that TCU loss at home, and, you know, ouch, that one stings. It hurts whenever you can't defend your home court and you're in the hunt for the, you know, conference title like Iowa State is. But yet the AP voters did not seem to penalize Iowa State for that.
That was odd. Yeah, I saw that. That was really odd. But, Iowa State shot horribly in that game. They stunk up the place. Maybe it was good for them to lose. I don't know. But you never want to lose a home game, that's for sure. They absolutely stunk up the place, and that's as bad as I've seen Iowa State play. Gosh, I mean, certainly this year it was horrible.
It was an uninspired effort, to say the least.
Yeah.
So
and the crowd wasn't even in it. Well, I guess in order for the crowd to get in the game, you have the players have to give them a reason to get into it, and certainly there was no reason.
So let's inspire everybody a little bit, because Fred Hoiberg is going to be at the game tonight.
I thought you were going to say we've got Fred Hoiberg coming.
No, but Fred Hoiberg is going to be at the game tonight. He talked to the team yesterday.
Yeah.
We talked about this briefly off the air, and we talked about it on the Morning Rush this morning. I don't understand what the big deal is.
I don't either. I saw some stuff on the social media where Iowa State fans, I assume they're Iowa State fans, were freaking out. They wondered why Prohm would invite Fred to come and talk. Well, number one, Fred's still the mayor. I don't care, you know, what...
That's what I said. He's not just a former coach.
No.
He's a former Ames High star. He is, you know, his jersey is in the Raptors
his numbers,
as a
I've
player.
Just said that. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so we've got that cleared up. But, yeah, why not invite him in? I mean, he's coached in the NBA, for God's sakes. He had Iowa State...
He played in the NBA.
He played in the NBA. He had Iowa State. He coached among the most successful teams Iowa State's had, and like Prohm said yesterday at the press conference, he led the renaissance of Iowa State basketball. I mean, he took over after four losing seasons in a row, I believe. He turned that program around, and he did it with some of the recruiting was with transfers, but that's okay. If it's available, do it. So why not? Fred's got a lot of good stuff to say. And you know, the only guy that knows Fred on this team is Nick. Nick's the only guy. So you know, why not? And I saw people saying, well, why would Prohm invite Fred? Because Fred, you know, thinking the people were probably thinking that Fred could be.
He doesn't have a job right now.
Yeah, Prohm's job, and he is out of a job. Yeah, a threat for Prohm's job, which. And basketball coaches don't have that thin a skin. They've sometimes got thin skin, but not that thin when it's the mayor. I mean, when it's, my gosh, please.
Well, and we talked a lot about this morning, too. For a while, it seemed that there were coaches, both in football and basketball, And you know what? This could be a personal philosophy just from coach to coach, and it's not necessarily an Iowa State thing. But the certain coaches that don't want to embrace the past or try to create their own culture, they don't want to look backwards. They only want to look forwards. But I feel like Iowa State with Matt Campbell and the way he has embraced, you know, bringing back Dan McCarney, you know, embracing the success of former players. Seneca Wallace, who for a long time had not felt welcome or at least, you know, not embraced with open arms when he came back to Ames, now being invited back to speak with the team and be on the field and embrace his Cyclone past. I don't see how there's anything wrong with investing and bringing back your past in order to create the culture that you want in the future as well.
That's a wonderful point. I mean, you know, it's those guys have good things to say. And McCarney, he's there more than we know. He hangs out up there more than we know. I mean, trust me, I know this. So yeah, that's cool. And you brought up the Seneca thing, but Prohm does that too. It was 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I don't remember, 3 years ago probably, where he started the basketball Iowa State alumni weekend, reunion weekend for basketball. I mean, Fred's been back for that. Anybody raise a big stink then?
No, and I saw Monte Morris and George Yang come back when they've, you know, after graduation.
Tim was back last year.
Yes. Good.
They all come back for this thing. I wrote this morning, I just kind of as a throwaway line, but I really want to get into this at some point during when we get rid of all this stupid snow.
Yeah, when is that going to happen?
Is that ever happening? But anyway, you know, while we're on the subject of the basketball reunion, I wish Larry would come back. I really do, just for some sort of closure. I really do. They try to get him back every year, and he doesn't. But I would love to just sit down and talk to Larry Eustace about what he's doing now. You know, let the interview go.
That is a very interesting thought. I would love to hear from him as well.
Just let it go. I've reached out to him often, and I don't hear anything. I've heard from him once, and it was just a brief text in the last almost 3 years now. And I won't even, you probably know what that is, but I won't go into that. But that was it, and that was cool. But that was it. I don't know. I think it would be cool for Larry to come back because he was so successful at Iowa State. He was an icon. He was an iconic figure. I wish he would come back for that.
That is an intriguing thought.
Well, let's you and I get that started. Let's work on that.
We will. Maybe we can talk about it during the break because it is time to take
one. During the break, okay.
And coming up, we're going to talk to Matthew Bain.
Well, maybe he can get him back.
Yeah, maybe Matt has avenues that we haven't explored yet.
Yeah,
but we'll have
that.
Matthew Bain on the way next on Cyclone Insider with Randy Peterson on 1460 KXNO.
Everything you need to know about Iowa State, it's Cyclone Insider with the Des Moines Register, powered by G. Migs Fifth Street Pub on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to Cyclone Insider. It's Heather Burnside in for Chris Williams. Randy Peterson is here. Tommy Birch at home with a sick kid. We understand that. Life happens.
That stuff happens.
It does.
Yeah.
So we have Matthew Bain on hold, though. He held through the break. Before, we were talking about Randy being turned down, brutally rebuffed by Larry Eustace for an interview. And Matthew, do you have any inroads to getting an interview with Larry Eustace or perhaps bringing him back to Ames at some point like Fred Hoiberg is tonight?
Well, gosh. So he lives in California now. I'm a California kid, so we got that. Then I'm also a Mountain West boy. I went to San Diego State when he was coaching at Colorado State. So maybe I can work on a few things. Give me a couple days, and I'll see.
We'll give you couple of days. Check back with us, okay?
So mainly, let's talk about recruiting. So let's forget Larry for a while. Which way you want to go, basketball or football? I don't care. What interests me right now is the football thing. Is Campbell going to get one of those receivers, two of those receivers, or none of those receivers? You know who the guys I'm talking about, and I can't
right,
say their
yeah,
names
well,
now.
Right, yeah, well, Lawrence Cage is off the board. He went to Miami.
Where did he come from? Wait a minute.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. He went to Georgia. So he came from Miami.
Yeah.
Went to Georgia, yep. That was a couple
okay.
weeks ago.
Okay, there you go. Okay, that's the one.
But he's off the board. He was kind of the number one receiver target right. for a lot of people across the country, and Georgia won on that one. They've still got LaMichael Petway, the graduate transfer out of Arkansas. I haven't heard as much with him lately. And then I'm going to do some digging today, but those are the two receiver names that I know about. The other position that they're looking at is defensive back. they're in really well with them. And Illinois graduate transfer named Cameron Watkins last week, he narrowed it down to Iowa State and Vanderbilt. But the thought is that Iowa State has some good momentum there. They need some veteran experience to throw into the mix right away in the secondary, and he would be a good guy. Another name to perhaps look at is Zach McPherson, another graduate transfer out of Penn State who took an official visit to Ames before the February 6th signing day. So those are some names to keep an eye on. I'll do some digging today because we've got the mailbag coming out tomorrow to see if there's any new things to keep an eye on. But those are the ones on top of my mind right now.
So if he doesn't get any of the receivers, is he giving up on receivers, or will they go to plan A, B, C, or whatever it would be?
I think the thing with this graduate transfers and then the transfer market is that you do have time.
Yeah.
I mean, you really don't need to add that piece until June or just before your summer workout. So if they swing and miss on their top targets right now, they don't need to give up, but they might take a break and decide they need to evaluate. They might head back out to Iowa Western, see if there's anybody with the Reavers that's still left, or they'll look for a diamond in the rough and under the radar high school kid. But they do have time. That's the one thing about this transfer market and the spring recruiting season. They've got some time still.
And it's not like they have exactly an empty cupboard as far as the receivers are concerned.
Right. But their top choice, as indicated by the way they've recruited, would be to get kind of that immediate experience guy to replace Akeem Butler. But if that doesn't happen, you're completely right. They do have the talent in that room to fill in.
Matthew Bain on the phone, Larry Peterson in studio, or Larry Peterson, Larry Eustachy. I guess
studio.
That was where, yeah, Randy Peterson in the studio for Cyclone Insider. I don't know where Larry Peterson is.
Council Bluffs.
While we're on the topic of football recruiting, and I'm going
Larry
to be the,
Peterson.
I had Larry Eustachy on my mind. I'm going to be honest when I say I can get excited about going to the signing day, you know, activities that they have at the new South End Zone, the Sukup Complex at Iowa State. I enjoy watching the coaches tweet out their commits, but I don't really get into it because obviously no matter how good you have the potential is when you're recruited, it depends on what happens when you get there before I start getting really excited. The other thing that I wanted to ask you about is, you know, you hear all these things. You were just talking about some guys that had maybe initially been on the radar. They've dropped off. I wanted to get both of your thoughts on how many commits or how many offers that Iowa State puts out there, because a lot has been made now. Iowa State is now towards, they're inching up there in the amount of offers that they make to kids, and there's always this a big deal made out of the fact that, look, there's a lot more offers than there are positions or scholarships in college football. But it's all, I want to know where that fits into or why that's a bad thing to put out more offers than you have, knowing that a lot of these guys are going to fall through, it's not going to work out, something is going to happen.
Take it, Bain. That's your bailiwick.
Sure. Well, it's different philosophies, and it's obviously very, very debated topic in this state because our two biggest football programs are on two different, very, very different sides of the spectrum. You've got Iowa State, who their recruiting philosophy is, all right, We're confident in our early evaluations. We're confident offering you as a freshman or a sophomore, and we feel like offering you will help us build an early relationship that we hope pays off in the end. Whereas Iowa is more stingy, more selective with their offers. They'll like a kid as a freshman or a sophomore, but unless that kid is like an uber otherworldly talent, they're usually going to hold off until maybe their junior year or until they've been able to evaluate more to extend that offer. I don't have a huge problem either way. The only caveat with that is if you're using Iowa State's methodology, you need to be open and honest with the kids the entire process. There needs to be transparency. If you're offering a kid as a freshman under the condition that he continues to do X, Y, and Z, you need to tell that kid, all right, we're offering you under the condition that you do X, Y, and Z. There needs to be transparency. Although I also will say that even though Iowa State is on the upper end of the offers list, they are offering fewer and fewer year by year. I was talking with Alex Golish about this during the early signing day. And gosh, I had a story on it. I think they've offered something like 80 fewer for the 2019 class than they did for 2018. And he kind of smiled at that, saying, hey, we're out of the top 10 now.
that's a good point because that's if other schools are doing it. I mean, it's like in basketball. When Fred went for the went with the grad transfers, it took a while for others to catch up, and some of them still don't do it. And which is, to me, is ridiculous. But in football, if others are doing it around you, I mean, within the Big 12 conference or within the schools against whom Iowa State recruits, then you have to do that. You really do. And then if you get the commitments or whatever, you figure out take pen to paper and figure out how to make it work. And we know every year there's attrition on football teams. There's tons of attrition on football teams, and some of it happens under the radar. Some of it we don't see because it's players we don't care about. Other times, it happens with guys who want more playing time but have played a little bit but want more playing time, or guys that don't end up fitting the culture or whatever. But I don't have a problem with guys offering tons of.
I don't either. Especially, it's a lot harder to build a football team, or you have a lot more moving pieces than you do a basketball team. I would hate to think about where Iowa State would be without Mario Shayok this year.
Yeah.
But that just shows you how these grad transfers can make a difference. And, you know, talk a little bit about that piece of the recruiting and acquiring players puzzle, Matt.
I think
About using transfers,
yeah, and how that fits into your process to go out and recruit your high schoolers.
Prohm always wants a sit-out guy. I mean, this year they've got Prentice Nixon, a sit-out guard from one of Larry's guys at Colorado State. He always wants a sit-out guy. Last year he had two. He had Shayok and he had Mike Jacobson. Always wants a guy sitting out. So that's kind of Prohm's philosophy. And in football, I don't know. Iowa State would have had a good lineman last year. Was it last year? Kid from Michigan who ended up going somewhere else, I think. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's just the philosophy of the coach, how they want to do it. Bain, are you know anything about what about basketball? What's Prohm looking at out there, looking for out there?
Well, they are officially, I guess you could say, in pursuit of another 2019 piece coming into this year. I think everybody assumed that they would have at least one more 2019 scholarship, so a fourth spot. And they could even have a fifth, depending on what happens in the offseason. But for now, they've offered two 2019 guards. They offered Harlan Beverly, who's from Michigan, but he's playing his senior year at Montverde Academy down in Florida. And then they've also offered Clarence Nadolny, another guard from France who plays his high school ball in Pennsylvania. I don't know a whole bunch about Nadolny, other than that he's a 6'2 combo guard who's from Paris. He told me that Prohm is going to come visit him in a couple weeks. He's picking up offers left and right. Arkansas just offered him. He's a very late-blooming prospect. Funnily enough, I actually do know a good bit about Harlan Beverly, though, because when I went out to cover live periods last summer, the USA Today Network did kind of this partnership deal, so I covered some stuff for the Detroit Free Press, and at the time, Michigan and Michigan State were going pretty hard after this Harlan Beverly kid. So I watched him a few games. His length jumps out right away. He's lanky, 6'4", really good on the defensive end. He can play fast, score from all three levels. Just in hindsight, a pretty gosh darn good fit for Steve Prohm's system. So his recruitment has been interesting. In July, he had a bunch of schools after him, but he decided to push his recruitment into his senior year. He has shot up the recruiting rankings since. The Rivals has him at 59 in their latest rankings. And Iowa State, DePaul, Creighton, Miami, Virginia, Utah, they've all offered him since he went to Montverde. You've got Indiana still in the mix. You've got maybe Texas and Louisville are once in the mix. I mean, there's just a lot of schools involved here. But Harlan Beverly would be a fit for Iowa State schematically.
How many guys do you think Iowa State coaches are assuming? How many guys with eligibility leave after this season do you think Iowa State guys coaches are assuming?
Coaches are on the recruiting trail right now, assuming they'll have one more scholarship to work with and then preparing for two.
Okay, because I would guess that either Wigginton or Taylor Horton Tucker or both won't be back.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Horton Tucker and Tyrese for sure will test the waters. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
You know, and you never know about Cam. I mean, he could play. You know, the D League is a little bit more appealing right now, I believe, but or G League, whatever it is.
It's D. G. No, it is G.
G. It is.
It is G.
It is G. Yeah. It is G. But anyway,
the Gatorade,
yeah. So I'm for sure they're going to have one, at least one. So I guess we'll see.
Well, they've made that clear. They've extended offers. They had waited to extend offers, and then now they have. So it's official.
Yeah. So maybe they're telling us something there. But anyway, so.
Matthew Bain, thank you for joining us and talking a little recruiting on this Tuesday on Cyclone Insider.
Sure. You guys have a good one.
Thanks,
you
Bain.
Too. Work on that Eustachy thing and get back to us. And see if Larry Peterson is available, too.
Yeah, I'll get on it.
Thanks, Matthew. Let's talk before we wrap things up a little bit about where Iowa State falls in the latest bracketology. Right now, your top four seeds, Duke, Tennessee, Virginia, Gonzaga, and Iowa State is a four seed right now in San Jose. What would it take to get them to Des Moines?
Nothing. They'd have to win the Big 12 conference. I mean, that's
regular
starts.
Season and tournament.
No. Regular season.
Okay.
Regular season. If they win the Big 12 regular season, whatever happens in the conference tournament is moot. I mean, I think. But I think they'd have to win it. We're back to the win out thing, and that's just a possibility. Not going to Des Moines. You know, and I know that people get all excited about having Iowa State and Iowa and Des Moines. Well, I don't think that's happening. And obviously from the latest bracketologies, I mean, CBS has Iowa State of 5 in Hartford. Like you say, and ESPN has – Lunardi has Iowa State of 4 in San Jose. USA Today's got Iowa State of 4 in San Jose. So,
is kind of a buzzkill.
Coming to Des Moines, I don't know. I don't see that happening. But it would be great. I've got – 5 tickets already for my girls, so and their husbands. So,
We have an 8 o'clock tip off tonight. Iowa State and Baylor coverage begins.
And a blizzard coming. Blizzard coming
on 100.3. The bus. Be careful on your way there, and especially on your way back. What do you suppose the Baylor Bears are going to think when they show up to this?
I don't know.
Some of them may not have even seen snow before.
They're going to see record snow after the game. They'll walk out, and we will then have a record snowfall.
They're going to have fun staring at the snow mountains.
The mountains, yes.
Anyway, Randy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Again,
thank you for calling in.
Join us for the Cyclones on the bus tonight, and, of course, the Morning Rush tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.